Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome. This is Access Astrology, speaking with you on Monday evening or whenever you're tuning in to this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. This is Mark Waltz, speaking from New York City. And Anne Ortley will join me from New York City shortly. She just had to jump out for a little thing, and hopefully Heather will be calling in from St. Paul or Seattle or somewhere further west from New York. So last week, we were not here. We took a holiday. We took the Revolution Day holiday, and it was a busy week. So I'm sure you all noticed a lot of stuff going on since the last time we spoke. And this week is a little quieter than last week, so that should be good news for some of us. We do have a full moon coming up on Friday, the 15th. Today is Monday, the 11th, so that'll be a full moon in Capricorn, moon in Capricorn, sun in Cancer. And we'll chat a little bit about that. And we'll also take calls, so when we give out the number, you can phone in and ask questions. You can also, anytime, send us an email at astronyc.com, A-S-T-R-O-N-Y-C.com. Send us an email, ask us your questions, and we'll get to them on air. So, here we are on the 11th, and let's have a look at what is going on. It is a lot quieter. The moon is busy. Doing all kinds of moon things in Sagittarius today and moving on toward Capricorn for that full moon on Friday. And in the meantime, among the planets, we have Venus squaring Saturn on Wednesday. So Venus will square Saturn. And that's the Saturn that's just slowly getting moving. It's moved a degree since its station, and it is in Libra, and it'll take that square from Venus. Venus square Saturn, not so much fun. It can affect sort of social connections, and it can also affect money. Venus has to do with money and value, and to whatever extent we value money. And when it squares Saturn, there is a moment of reckoning. Saturn wants to know the top line and the bottom line and all the lines in between. So anything to do with money, Tuesday, Wednesday, pay close attention and make sure you know what all those lines mean from the top line to the bottom line. If you do that, the money will work with you. And the way those lines read, it might mean don't do anything radical with the money. But if it reads healthy and strong, then you can do stuff. So Venus square Saturn, it also, it'll bring up kind of a realistic look at whatever kind of social relations we have, any romantic aspirations. There may be kind of a reality check going on. You know, there's the dreamy part of romance, and there's the, how is this really going to work in a practical way going forward forever and ever, or for as long as time can be measured? You know, those kind of thoughts come in. So we may well have that kind of reckoning again on Tuesday, Wednesday, that feeling. This is all leading up to a full moon, so the emotions are running pretty strong, like the maple syrup in the spring, and because the full moon tends to draw all kinds of feelings up. So when they're connected to a Venus square Saturn, it can make whatever sort of relationship testing we're going through feel even stronger. What that means is that if you're getting that, remind yourself that this is a test, and it's only a test. pay attention. It gives you an opportunity to test the relationship, but then it'll go on. So one of the nice things about Saturn as the Lord of Time is that there is a limitation to the time, including the time that Saturn can wag his finger and say, you must do this, you mustn't do that. That all happens within a time frame. And you know, unlike some of the other influences we get that seem to go on beyond the time of the transit, the ones with Saturn are really limited in their time. And so Saturn, of course, would not do anything or would not ask us to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. That's in the nature of Saturn and Capricorn. And in the kind of leadership quality that Saturn displays, the leader is not exempt from the rules. And so that goes for the time of the transit as well. Saturn says, I'm here for the time of this transit, and then I'm gone. So that's something you can always remember, even though it can feel not very pleasant when Saturn is testing things. We can remember that that time will pass. So, anyway, we have the Venus square Saturn, then we come up to that full moon. And Sun in Cancer, cardinal sign, Moon in Capricorn, cardinal sign. And we're coming off of a lot of cardinal energy with the last eclipse. And the whole big, that eclipse came in with that cardinal T-square, filled it out into a grand cross. So we have all of that cardinal energy still pulsing very strongly around us. So there's still we're still feeling that sense of an urgency to take action. And if you don't have an action right in front of you that's just obvious to take, then it may feel a little disturbing because you have that feeling, I should be doing something, and I can't quite figure out what it is. So best thing to do is use this full moon to take some kind of an action. The moon being in Capricorn means that that action will have its consequences, and you'll be aware of what they're likely to be. So whatever action you're taking, think it through. Figure what will this action set off? What will be the consequence? What are the effects that will follow this action? And then that might make you modify the action a little bit, but go ahead and take it and live with the consequence. So Capricorn full moons, they're interesting in that they do ask us to really be responsible and be aware of consequence. And they still urge us toward the action. So it's a full moon. It brings up all the full feelings, but there's a sense of solidity to it. Unlike sometimes with the full moon, it's just everything's over the top. Saturn doesn't like to operate too much over the top unless everything is prepared to go over the top. And this one isn't bad. This one is much more, let's just do what it is that we are best prepared to do. So it's not an over-the-top thing. And the Sun in Cancer is kind of that way, too. It's a cardinal sign, but it's not, it doesn't get out of control. It has a plan. It wants to refer to the past always. There's something with Cancer that it's reaching forward and staying rooted at the same time. There's a strong sense of roots with the Sun in Cancer. So we'll be aware of what the roots are and what are the root causes in whatever actions we're going to take. So be aware of that coming up Friday. make a little ceremony, if you like, for the full moon and consecrate your action towards something that will produce consequences that you can envision and that you really want to see happen, and allow them to unfold. And what else do we have coming up this week? I'm looking ahead here.
Oh, hi, it's Ann. I'm here.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you? Good. Running a little late.
Good.
Finishing up with with somebody.
Okay.
So you've covered what's going
chatting.
On a month ahead, huh?
Yeah, I was chatting about the Venus square Saturn and the full moon in Capricorn.
Which is lovely. We love that Venus square Saturn.
Yeah, this week is not one of those rock and roll weeks.
No, it's pretty quiet.
Last week was, but we took the week off. Right?
I know. We had a holiday. Left everybody to their own defenses and their own devices to figure out what to do with it.
Right. So we may hear about that in the phone call. But.
Right. Yeah, no, it definitely is. When we see the energy of the week ahead, it's not nearly as dramatic as the last couple weeks have been. I think it's kind of letting us figure out what the purpose is to, you know, saying to all of us, okay, you've gone through all these really emotional transitions with the eclipses, and you've had all these reveals. You've seen all this new stuff. And last week, Uranus stationed on the 9th on Saturday, saying, okay, we have now had this breakthrough, this revelation, really seen something, and our job is to say, what's that vision of how we're going to use it? And this week, we kind of clarify that. You know, first...
Yeah, I was saying with this Capricorn full moon that there's a strong sense of consequences.
Yes.
We're still called to take an action, but we'll be very much aware of the consequences.
Yeah.
Choosing within that.
Choosing within it and trying to figure out what that looks like. And we also have, I think, with the full moon, we're called back to look at what was going on in January of 2010 when the new moon happened at this degree. So back then, we all started a story, and that was an eclipse. So when we see the eclipse from then, you know, culminating now in our lives, that eclipse was at 26, I think it was, Capricorn. And, the sun and the moon do this long cycle that they dance through that's part of, takes 10 months, 10 lunar months, and then 10 lunar months again to the full moon. So it said, okay, January, and then last fall in October, November, we were asked to make decisions as the moon was square to the sun. And now on the full moon, as Capricorn opposes the Cancer moon, it says go back to last fall in October, go back to December, or go back to January, the cycle that you started. What's your vision? How does this playing out for you? How do you want to move forward with this? And I think if we do it from a bigger picture and we say, okay, the eclipses were meant to illuminate us, and now we're facing choices. Now that now we face those choices and we say, okay, where do we want to go with them? So it's a really exciting time. I know from my point of view, you know, kind of sitting here listening to people talk, a lot of people are making really big choices about what the next is, you know, what's the next thing in their life. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And we also have a really fast Finger of God this week with Mercury forming it with Uranus and Pluto, or a Hammer of God, rather.
Yeah.
Huh? And a Hammer of God is when two planets square each other, so Uranus and Pluto are in square to each other, and Mercury forms a sesquiquadrate to both of them. And so what that means is we the information that we've been working with wants us to be clear, and it wants to come in and say, clarify. So over the 15th and the 16th, we'll get really clear information about what we need to do, and then, of course, the full moon is on the 15th, and it is in Capricorn, saying time to choose and figure out where you're going. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We should see if we have any callers.
Any callers. Let me look on the switchboard. I pulled the switchboard up a minute ago and just pulled it down. Okay. We have any callers on the switchboard? Nope, nobody there. Nobody with their hand up at least. 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So these are people that...
And the deal is you press number one.
Press number one and right. It raises your hand so we know that you want to talk to us. And that's they have changed the switchboard format, so it looks a little different, but it has no mic, talk, drop, and hold time. I think perhaps we might have a question. There's a person with a little question mark next to their thing, and maybe that's the new symbol instead of the hand being raised, so we'll try.
Oh.
Hi, 336, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I would, first of all, I'd like to say thank you guys for having the show.
Great.
Good.
Did you have a question? Huh?
Yes, ma'am. My birth information is 3/21/1974.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that's at 12:32 a.m.
12:32 a.m. where?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay. Okay, and that's March 2-1 or March 3-1?
2-1.
2-1, okay.
2-1, uh-huh.
All right, and what's your question?
Well, dealing with the eclipses, I noticed that they actually hit my north and south nodes exactly.
Yep, mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah, and, well, the thing is, I'm kind of feeling like I haven't really felt, you know, a real blunt of the energy. I'm just still trying to figure out what am I being told.
Okay. All right, well, what happens with eclipses, and your chart does have them at 23, where was the full moon. So what happens is the eclipse comes and kind of sends the energy into your chart because it's a lunar energy, and it pulses this energy into you. And then it says, and now we're going to let the story unfold over the next few months. So when Mars gets to 23, which is coming very soon, he will trigger the eclipses. And as planets get to those degrees, they wake up. So on July 23rd, Mars gets to 23 and wakes up your eclipses. The other thing that eclipses do is they kind of set the stage, and the stage unfolds over the next 6 months, where the story kind of takes place and rolls out. So if you think about the Maria Shriver, Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, last October, November, she asked the cleaning lady if it was Arnold's baby. The cleaning lady said yes. She asked Arnold. He said yes. So she knew then, right? And so then all spring, there was an unfolding of their story in their lives. We didn't know about it. Then as the eclipses moved into ebb this time, we heard that they were getting a split. Then we heard there was a child. Then we heard she filed for divorce. We had three separate events because we had three separate eclipses. Now you had a story that kind of started this eclipse, and it will unfold between now and December when the eclipses happen again, and they happen again in your first house and your seventh house. So what the universe is asking you to do is kind of get clear on relationships to understand your communication style in relationships. And remember, you have Mercury joined to Jupiter, ruling the relationship node. And it says this story unfolds over the next few months. Now, what will happen is Uranus also hits your sun, which is unfolding and giving you new information. And you're also going to have Pluto square your Pluto, which is unfolding and giving you new information. So you're kind of going to have this kind of rolling story about your life direction, because the North Node in your case is in your first house, and about the partnerships that you either want to stay with or transform or release, and what do you want to do with them? What's that vision for yourself? And then when we get to the eclipses that take place in December, the one eclipse is at 18 degrees of Gemini, which is right in the middle of that stuff, and the other one is at 2 degrees of Sag, which is right on your ascendant, the one on right after Thanksgiving. So we have you're having a story getting told to you. Now, the thing with eclipses is because the lights go out, you don't get the whole story right away. You get it in pieces as the secrets get revealed or the story gets untold, unfolds before you, right? So, you know, it's like, okay, the housekeeper had the baby, the housekeeper retires, Maria moves out, Arnold leaves the governorship, then they're getting divorced. You know, there was the whole springtime where none of us knew what was happening, but they obviously had stuff going on. Then the baby story comes out, then she files for divorce. So you're going to have something similar that unfolds over the next few months to help you move forward in your life and to help you see. And because the eclipses are in your first house, on your north node, they're going to direct you towards the next big chapter in your life. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, I do have a big relationship story going on. And I'm also dealing with my direction as far as career. Things are unfolding. I was expecting for it to hit me, you know, being that it happened, you know, exactly on my north and south node. But like I said, I do have a relationship story that's, you know, that's playing a really big part of my life.
Yeah, and it will continue to over the next few months, because what it's really doing is it's saying to you, at what, you know, it's tying back into your father's story and to your authority story, because Saturn's on your south node, and it's asking you to figure out what you want. And then the eclipse itself, the midheaven, is ruled by Mercury, joined to Jupiter, the ruler of the eclipse. So it's definitely career-based, too. So it's like just kind of say, okay, universe, I'm showing up, I'm paying attention. What am I supposed to learn? How am I supposed to grow here? What's the next step? And kind of keep just moving towards it, you know? Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, it is kind of a time of putting one foot in front of the other, you know? You don't necessarily see exactly where each of those steps is going to take you, but get yourself to keep a firm, steady walk. So, you know, do what's meant to be done each day, and you know what that is. You know what your marching orders are, basically. You know what has to be done, and things will show up as you go along. So it's kind of like being on a walking tour in your life right now. And it's one foot in front of the other, and it'll play out around you kind of pretty much. If you keep the steady movement for yourself, everything will unroll at a walking pace. It'll, you know, all the stuff around you will time itself to your steady pace. If you don't keep a steady pace, then things are going to happen kind of jerkily.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, the thing is, the relationship and the career are kind of, they involve maybe a move.
Whether you should move or not, or whether you're, you know,
well,
to be able to pursue the two of them, you'd have to move.
Well, not to pursue the two of them, I have to move. I really want to move. Like, I really have a real urge to move,
mm-hmm.
to get out of where I'm at.
Right. Yeah, your chart totally wants to move. You're having a big Uranus transit, and I do think I wouldn't be surprised if you moved this fall, because you're having Uranus on your sun. It's going to come back and station on your sun, and you're also having Pluto square your sun. But part of the directional thing is with eclipses, what they do is they create a sense of urgency too, that I have to do this or I'm simply going to die. If I don't move, I can't take it a minute longer. And so what we like to do is encourage people to wait until the pulse has kind of calmed down, and then to say, okay, so now what's the plan? It's not that the situation, you know, you've wanted to leave the situation for a while, but you didn't have the urgency until the eclipse. Now that the eclipse hit, It's like, okay, now I've got the urgency. All right, what's the plan for me to do this in a way that's supportive of me, that so that I can get there and do what I need to do? So I don't I wouldn't be surprised if you move, because Uranus is coming to your sun, and the sun rules faraway places. It's 500 miles at least from where you're living now, right?
Yes, it's about 2,000 miles away.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're moving to a, you know, your sun rules the house of faraway places, and it says move far away from where I am now. So, yeah, but, you know, if it also doesn't mean, like, sell the house at a loss. It means make it, you know, make the changes that are important to make in your life to support moving in a new direction. And it can very well, you know, you've got a north node in Sagittarius that says the way I inaugurate the big changes in my life is I actually do move. You know, there's always some kind of change in location for me, or change in philosophy at the very least, if I'm moving, because I have my north node in Sag. So that is a, you know, common, not common, but it is a common thing that Sages do. They say, well, let me take a road trip, you know. I was talking to one earlier today, and, you know, he's trying to figure out what he wants to do next, and he's like, well, I'm taking a couple of days off and going on a road trip. I'm like, well, that's good, because that actually helps clear his mind to do figure out what he wants to do next. So you kind of know. So, yes, so now that you have the plan, go for it. And how do you get there, and what do you need to do to get there in a good state to move forward? Like, you know, having a job lined up, stuff like that. And it should open very clearly for you, because you have what's called the finger of God in your chart. So when you have a finger of God, the universe kind of takes care of these things when it's time for you to do something. It kind of steps up and says, oh, you're time for you to go there. Let me help. And you have what's called a transiting finger of God forming in your chart right now, which is I'm ready to move. I'm ready to leave and go do something different. So would encourage that from at least my side. Mark? You too?
Yeah, and with the, in, you know, really through the rest of the year, with the Uranus on the sun and the Pluto squaring, you will feel a strong urge to make changes. And the changes that you're going to want to make are ones that really bring out who you are. It's all that Uranian energy. And what you want to do is keep the focus on expressing yourself and taking the actions that really express yourself, but don't do it in a way that slights others or that spites others even. You want to be careful to, you know, the main reference you'll have is to yourself and what you want to do. And that's good, but don't let it at the same time be any sort of spiteful toward others, because it's not that others are saying you can't do that or that's not really you. You may feel like you have to be a little louder than normal, but you don't actually have to if you're keeping the focus really on what, through your whole life, what your themes are. Like, really think, what, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It really does. It really does.
I think you have a good sense of how to handle these next few months, then.
Well, it definitely seems like I'm handling it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm kind of taking it in stride, and, you know, not trying to be impulsive. I have been reading a lot on my North Node and Sag. You know, as far as finding out who I am and, you know, just expressing myself. So, you know, but like I said, I have a really big relationship story that's playing out. It really does play to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, you often will find, you know, especially on eclipses, that the energy kind of comes to you and it invites you to see new sides of yourself and new ways of looking at yourself. So just keep following the clues. The more you do, the better it goes. The British lady is talking, so we're going to let you go.
Okay,
I guess hang up, right? Yeah, Mark, you want to take us home? I'm Ian Ortley. I'm a late arriver, but I arrived.
Good. And this is Mark Walks. And we missed Heather tonight, but she should be with us next week.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you all for listening.
Yes.
You can always get in contact with us through astronyc.com, astronyc.com.
Right. And you can see Mark or I at the Open Center on Tuesday nights, 6:30 to 7:30. And have a very lovely second week of July, because this is going to be a quiet week. It'll be really wonderful. Yay.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye now.